hold up for a moment. I normally do this before y'all get here. Good morning.
Good morning.
So many things are running through my mind right now. I just it just kind of caught up and excited to be up here this morning. We have engaged in a study of worship over the last 2 weeks. And said last week was my first time to preach this year. Thankful that Tanner was able to cover for me those 2 weeks. And now we began our study on what is worship. Last week we looked at the who is worship. What is the object? Why do we gather together and worship? And so as that being the foundation of where we will spring forward from, now we're looking at elements of worship. What they are, what we do, why we do those things. And so now as we move into week two, I want to take a moment to look at the worship of gathering, or the worship by gathering. This is the prime reason why we assemble together, is to worship. There's so many benefits of being a body of believers that come to a building on Sunday morning, but primarily we gather together to worship God. There's certainly those secondary reasons. Okay, I'm not disqualifying any of those. They're not of any kind of small value, or not worthy, or even submissible is a reason to come, but the truth and the very foundation of why we gather together is to worship God. That's why we're here. If for any other reason you have come to the house of the Lord today, you're missing out on the primary purpose. Every element, everything that we do here on Sunday morning is an act of worship. From the man that gets here faithfully every week, ahead of the pastor, opens the doors, turns on the lights, goes through his whole system of getting things set up, and sometimes it's different, but it wakes up and comes into here, he enters the building in a mode of worship. From the opening of the doors to the benediction at the end of the service today, everything in between is worship. However, I hope and encourage you to not let that be all of your worship. Right? Like, it's not only when a man gets here and opens the doors and turns on the lights and gets everything kind of moving. What I like to say, kind of a phrase that I've been using, is waking up the church. I seem to put the church to bed on Sunday night, Saturday night, and I'm always preceded by a man that helps me to wake it up in the mornings. But I hope, again, that's not all. I hope your worship is not confined to the four walls of New Home Baptist Church. I hope that your worship is vibrant in your life every day. I hope that you wake up on Sunday morning. I pray that you wake up on Sunday morning and you prepare your heart for worship. That your worship begins as you brush your teeth. Not to be too elementary in that, or when you open your eyes, when you get a shower, when you put on your clothes, whatever it is that you're doing to prepare to come to church, I pray that it's done in an act of worship. I encourage you to bring the worship with you, not wait until Matthew starts playing on the piano, although that does kind of hearken our ears or turn our attention to know that it is time to prepare our hearts and to get our voices ready to lift them up loud and with great joy. But I encourage you to bring that with you, not wait till you get here. And listen, I know it's hard. I know it's hard. I know that in my family, sometimes Sunday morning, everybody looked up because you know it's true. We look so unlike worship from the time we wake up, right, till the time we walk in the door. We chuckle a little bit because we know that some of the greatest arguments we'll ever engage in happen in the parking lot of the church. Sometimes on Easter Sunday morning is that sunrise service, and everybody's just doing all they can to get here. But nonetheless, it's been said, right? It's a common truism. It's something that we chuckled at, and most churches would, that some of the greatest and most heated arguments happen on the drive to church. For so many reasons. And those reasons begin to cloud while we gathered to begin with. We're caught up in this, if this looks right, if little Johnny's hair is right or if his teeth were brushed, and all of those things, and we forget that we have a great opportunity to gather with believers and to worship the God who saves. We think of churches as so many other things that we can't get our mind right because we're caught up in all the other elements. We look right, we sound right, all of those things that become such a hindrance. Listen, I want to remind you of this. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, against evil and principalities, the powers of the air, the forces that are working, the children of disobedience. Okay? The cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places, that would love nothing else but to destroy your joy on coming together with believers at the house of God to worship. To destroy your witness because somebody wayward wanders in the back and we look like the grumpiest bunch of people in the world and they go, I don't want no part of that. But I would argue that some of that is because at times we superficially come to church. Had a discussion this morning in new members class. Sometimes the church does great harm because we're so busy doing everything but the thing that we're designed to do, and that's to worship. We miss the reason. And that's what I submit to you as a piece of the wrestling, not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. What more effective way to bring hurt and sorrow into the people of God than to hinder the worship on Sunday morning? Brothers and sisters, we have to suit up for worship. We have to suit up every day, Ephesians chapter 6. I joke sometimes at home, it's probably been a while, but I've used this term, but Carmen and I used to watch a sitcom, and one of the characters, and I won't tell you the name of it because I don't want to draw attention to it. It's not that great. It's not terrible, so don't give me too hard a time. But one of the characters used to always say, you got to suit up. The guy wore a suit every day. Suit up. And that was his thing. It was kind of his catchphrase, and I thought, that's the Christian life. We've got to suit up every day. And I would say we need to suit up surely on Sunday morning and prepare our hearts for worship. And so maybe that's part of the reason why I like to wear suits. Because when I put this on Sunday morning, or when I put this on to go stand in a pulpit at another church, or when I put this on to go and do a funeral, or I put this on to go and do a wedding, it reminds me that day is about worship. I really, if I could just be honest with you, I really am convinced that's why I wear a suit. Not because I'm pious, not because I feel like you have to. I believe it's part of my worship. That it reminds me why I got up. And it just sets my mind in such a way as I tie my tie that I'm going into the house of the Lord. I want to encourage you again to find the thing. And I can give you one. It's salvation in the glory of God. But to find the thing that prepares your heart for worship every morning, and particularly on Sunday morning when we gather together. More just talking and musing so far, but I want to get us into the Word. I have an outline. I'm going to go ahead. I want to just go ahead before I even read the Scripture, and I want to give you where we're going. Okay? Because I wrestled with this, and I'm probably going to through the entire morning. But I don't want to be confined with trying to hit these marks and say them properly. So if you got your notes and you're the note taker that wants to do this, here we go. We are called to gather. We are called to gather. Gathering to worship is a great privilege. It's a great privilege. And to neglect the opportunity to gather is to neglect the goodness of your salvation. Now, before you pick up rocks, I'm going to unpack that. To neglect the opportunity to gather and worship is to neglect your salvation. Notice I didn't say negate. I said neglect. And there's a difference. And I think I'll help it make sense in a moment. I want to invite you. I feel like I've already made it more solemn than I ever intended. Though in Scripture we're called to consecrate ourselves and to have a solemn assembly. I want to take us to the Scripture, the safe place where I know that God speaks. I want to invite you to join me there in Hebrews chapter 10, where I'll read verses 19 through 25. If you're able, I would invite you please to stand with me in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. And follow along. If you're not, you don't have a Bible with you today, or you don't have it in an electronic format, there are Bibles in the back of the pews. And Hebrews is toward the back. New Testament, probably about halfway through the New Testament, actually. All right. Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 25. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through His flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir one another up toward love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the matter of some, or the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Father, I thank You for the blood that makes us clean, the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, the washing that cleanses us and makes us pure before You. The cleansing that gives us admission into the Holy of Holies. The cleansing that allows us to come boldly before Your throne. It allows us to gather with an open veil, with a torn curtain, as the blood of Christ and the flesh of Christ has opened the curtain to us, that we can come into Your presence, that we can gather in the innermost, in the inner part of the sanctuary together. Father, I ask that You help us to not neglect that, to help us to come together often, to encourage one another even more as we see the day approaching. I thank you, Father, that you have provided this through your Son, Jesus. I ask that you be glorified today as we study your word. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. We are, as a people, called to gather. Gathering is, in fact, as the title says, a form of worship. It's giving unto God the glory that is due, that He is due. It is setting aside a time to come and be a part of a body of believers, as the New Testament calls it, to sing praises, to pray for one another, to encourage one another, to be reminded of the goodness of God by the proclamation of His Word. It is, in fact, absolutely an act of worship. This goes back to the very beginning of Scripture, that God has called His people to be a body moving together, a people that are set apart for His name, with a promise that God would provide for them and would give them an inheritance that was beyond their imagination, to lead them to a place that is flowing with milk and honey. They move together as one body, not always in perfect harmony, but yet together in connection through who God is. As we move toward the understanding of being called to gather, we see them as a people moving out of Egypt. Abraham being called, their promise of a people, a promise of a place. And we know that Genesis ends with them in captivity in Egypt. Then we come to Exodus. And God gives Moses, in Exodus chapter 12, the instructions for the building of the tabernacle. Now, this tabernacle is the meeting place. It becomes referred to as a tent of meeting. This is the place where the Ark of the Covenant is. This is the place where the sacrifices are done. This is the place where God dwells among His people. It's the house for the Ark of the Covenant. It's the house for the presence of God. It's a place where they are to come and to gather together. 400 years after the Exodus, 408 years after the Exodus, Solomon begins to build a more permanent structure for the people to gather together, to come and worship, to make their sacrifices. We find this in 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 1. In the 408th year after the people of Israel came out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month of Ziv, which is the second month, he began to build the house of the Lord. God's desire was for His people to have a place to gather. He called them to do that. He assembled a place that He has chosen. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 12, we get the instruction of how the temple should be built. In Exodus, we get the instruction of how the temple should be built. In Deuteronomy chapter 12, we are told that they should not just worship anywhere, but when they come into a place, they shall set up for worship in a place that God has chosen. And they're not to do any of the sacrifices outside of that central location. He's given them a place to gather. So they're called to gather together. Listen, Christianity is not something we do in isolation or in a vacuum. It's something that we do together as an act of worship. Again, honoring and revering the name of God, coming around His Word, being renewed and refreshed and encouraged, as we read in Hebrews chapter 10. It's a place to worship, a place set apart, a place when someone should be able to come in, where someone should be able to come in and recognize why we gather together. gathering to worship, as I told you, is a great privilege. Not everyone gets to enjoy that. Do you understand how wonderful it is to be able to sit in a room with the lights on and the front doors open and a steeple out front that raises high up in the air so that when people look off in the horizon, maybe they can see that cross standing tall and remember that there's a testimony to the goodness of God. And there's a place that you can go and gather and be encouraged for that. It's a privilege that not everyone in the world today is able to enjoy. You have been given a local house where you can come and worship your God together. In what Hebrews chapter 12 refers to, we're in an assembly with a host of innumerable angels gathered in a festal gathering, a joyful environment. Not a long-faced curmudgeon, I got to be here today. Glad you're here. Welcome. A place where they can come in and hear our voices lifted up, singing praises to God. We just sang, "Holy, holy, holy." Early in the morning, our song shall rise to thee. Gathering is not to be taken lightly. It's not to put on display your own piety. It's not to exercise your wonderful gift of singing or playing an instrument or even preaching or teaching. It's not for that. It's not so people that come and get to see you in your glory exercise a gift that God has given you. It's a place for people to come and witness you pouring out the gifts that God has given you in an offering to glorify Him, to worship Him. It's a place where you come to exercise the talents that you don't have and sing in praises to His name. How freeing would it be for someone else that comes in lost, that can't sing, to look over there and hear you sounding like Tony's rooster at 3 a.m. But it's because you've been saved. Why in the world are they can't sing? Why are they singing? Because they have a song. Like, God has saved them from themselves. He's ripped them away from an eternal hell and condemnation and has given them His Son as a propitiation or as an exchange for their sin and has imparted to them righteousness. And now they have a hope that extends beyond their last breath. No longer are they burdened by sin and shame, but they are delivered from that bondage and given a name above every name. Unfortunately, that's not how they see the church sometimes when they come in. They see us as judgmental, cold, hard, and ugly. Gathering to worship is a great privilege that didn't come easy. Men and women have given their life that you can come and worship at New Home Baptist Church. Have given their life that the people of God have ever had a place to worship. Listen to Psalm 122. The Israelites have been away. They've been driven out of Jerusalem. They've not been able to come to that great city, the city of peace. They've not been able to gather together in one body and worship. This psalm is known as a psalm of ascent. Psalm 122, verse 1. This is given credit to David as a quote from him. Here's what he said. Listen, "I was glad when they said unto me," y'all know where this goes, "let us go into the house of the Lord." Read it and hear it. I was glad. There's joy at the opportunity to come into the house of the Lord. I wonder sometimes if we would miss it. I ask you if during COVID, did you miss it? Because I certainly did. We didn't take off long. Matter of fact, we did not gather here, at least a few of us, any Sunday. That's not judgment or condemnation against those of you who didn't come. We met here as a few deacons scattered all around with the cameras on so that you could hear the Word of God proclaimed. But I'm just telling you, that Sunday when we came back together, oh, what a Sunday. Oh, how glad I was when we answered, sent out a call that said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Do you remember it, or have you already forgotten? Note the verbiage of that. I was glad when who? They said. Don't overlook it. Listen, there was joy for the opportunity. There was joy to extend the invite. David was glad when they said to him, let us go into the house of the Lord. They with joy say, let us go. There was joy in the unity of the call to come together in the house of the Lord. We're going to go up on the hill. We're going to go to Zion. We're going to go into the place where God dwells. We're going to lift our voices. We're going to sing together. We're going to worship the God who has delivered us from our foes, the one that sustains us, the one who ultimately has delivered us from our greatest foe, sin and death. Oh, we should wake up on Sunday morning. I can't wait to get there and hear your voices. This morning, church, you roared from behind me. I feel like there's a presence that fills in the gap sometimes at New Home. And I've also stood up here and stood right there when it felt like I couldn't hear anything. There should be joy. This should be the heart of the church. There should be joy for the opportunity to gather together. There should be joy to extend an invite to someone else to come and be a part of your worship service, because you know when they get to New Home, they're going to see the joy of the Lord. They're going to hear the voice of His choir. They're going to hear the praise of His name. They're going to hear the proclamation of His Word. They're going to be reminded of what God has done on the behalf of those who were unable to do for themselves. He has done what we could not do, none of us. He has saved us and made us new. Don't neglect the privilege. Psalm 100, we enter with praise and thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Why? Not because you're so overwhelmingly talented to do so, but because you know what He's done. And the beauty of that all is, for someone like me that's not gifted with the greatest musical talents, is when the church worships in fullness, you can't hear me. You can hear the worship of God's people collectively. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. All these are elements of worship. Come into His presence with singing. I've got a sermon coming up on praise, okay? Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. Listen, it is such a privilege to come into the house of the Lord. It is such a privilege to be the sheep of His pasture. It is so joyous and worthy of worship to know that God has declared you His own. To neglect those opportunities is to neglect our salvation. Again, not negate. If you, whether you're online or in this room, the reason why I turn to that is you'll know in a moment. Neglecting the opportunity to gather and worship is to neglect salvation, not negate. for what Christ has declared, what God has saved, cannot be taken away. His possessions are not up for grabs. If you have believed upon the name of the Lord, if you have called upon the name of the Lord for salvation, if you belong to Him, there is nothing, according to Scripture, that can snatch you from His hand. All that He has saved, He will raise on the last day. Scripture is replete with the fact that your salvation is eternally secure in the hand of the Father, and there is nothing that can snatch you away. That's why it's not negate your salvation, it's neglect your salvation. Hebrews 2, chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, all right, so this is the testimony of who God is, that we have heard and we have received, proved to be reliable. This is part of the message that every transgression and disobedience receives, as has been testified to, received a just retribution. How can we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Now, let me kind of put that in Titus, Alabama language. Since we have heard the message of the gospel, since we have come to faith in Jesus Christ, since His testimonies have proved to be true, since we have the Word of God and read things like last week that He in no way will acquit the guilty, that there is a consequence for every sin, every disobedience, which is sin, and He satisfied it on the cross through the person and work of Jesus Christ, since we have heard all of that and that testimony bears true witness, and understanding that every transgression and disobedience receives just retribution, in other words, God's wrath is poured out upon the transgressors. Understanding all of that, and understanding that Christ Jesus stepped in the way for those who have believed in Him, identified as the church of God, how can we neglect that truth? How can we abuse that truth? How can we not get excited about that truth? How can we not set the opportunity to praise God in a festal gathering, knowing that He has redeemed your soul, knowing that He has saved you from the pits of hell? How can you ignore it? It's just as the marriage is pictured as being a testimony to Christ and His church. You can't not gather with, you cannot fail to communicate with your spouse and somebody not say you're neglecting who they are. It doesn't make them not your spouse. It means you're neglecting the opportunity. You following where I'm going with that? Not coming to church doesn't cost you your salvation. I'm not saying that church attendance is salvation, but to not gather is to neglect your salvation. It's to abuse it. It's to say, thank you for saving me, but I've got other stuff I want to focus on today. You say, it's easy for you. You're the preacher. You got to be here. If I want to remain in good favor with the church, I got to be here. But if I want to honor God, I want to be here. there's a measurable difference. God gave a command to gather and worship. It's evident throughout Scripture. So not to gather is to be disobedient. Go read Deuteronomy 12. Neglect the tabernacle, the place of gathering. You neglect the body of Christ, who became flesh and tabernacled amongst us. He became the tabernacle. Oh, I hope you hear the weight of what I'm trying to convey. To fail to gather, to fail to come to the tabernacle, is to fail to come close to Christ. Don't negate your salvation, but it certainly is an abuse of it. Certainly is an abuse of it. We gather to worship God because He saved us, and for that reason alone, to the praise of His glory. If you come to gather at church, to be seen so others consider you to be a good person, you've missed the whole purpose in gathering. If you come and gather with the local assembly to promote a selfish agenda, whether it's business or gain, you've come for the wrong purposes. If you've came to church and brought your family so that you would see your children come to salvation, the moment they do, you stop coming, they stop coming, you've missed the whole point. If you've come to a place where you've done church for such a long time that you say, you know, I really don't need church anymore, you've missed the whole point. Because you never retire from being a worshiper of God. You never completed the race until He calls you home. And then listen, you know what's going to happen in eternity? Gathered in festal gathering with innumerable angels around the throne of God, singing praises to the glory of His name. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with His glory. You just sang the song. Listen, worship doesn't end. Ever. Ever. Gathering is an eternal call that never ends. We worship Him because He has saved us, because of who He is, to the praise of His glory, not because our life is perfect. Because I had news for you. I discussed it this morning. It will never be perfect this side of heaven. Not because we need a job and want God to bless us with the one that will pay the most. Not because we have a doctor's appointment and we're afraid to get the results back. Not so our children can escape hell and we can check the good parent box. Because all of my friends see that I drag my children in here kicking and screaming every week to the praise of my glory. No, we come in to worship the God that has saved us, and our children can bear witness to it. They can watch us lift our voice. They can watch us offer our prayers. They can watch us read our scripture that's in front of us. They can observe what we have going on. That's why we stop children's church at kindergarten. I believe after that they need to see mom and dad singing praises to God for what He has done and continues to do in their life. They need to see mom and dad bowed in prayer before a holy and righteous God, because we believe that He hears us and He answers us according to our greatest needs. Listen, gathering together is a worship that extends beyond the single person. We're part of the body of Christ that gathers together. And when one part is missing, the rest of the body suffers as well. We are here to worship. We worship because we are poor and wretched and unrighteous apart from Christ. We worship because apart from His grace, we are destined to eternal punishment under the wrath of God in a place called hell. We worship because we recognize He changed that for us through Christ Jesus. We gather together, setting apart a day to do that in a way that testifies to all who watch us. Listen, people are driving by right now seeing their cars in the parking lot. What does it tell them? There's folks that want to worship God. What does it tell them if you drive by a church, that the parking lot's empty? They don't consider it worth their time. Why should I? We worship because our hearts demand it. Because we have been given the heart of God. Are there circumstances? Sometimes there are. Sometimes there are those things that just stand in the way. Outside of our control. I understand that. If we choose not to gather, that's a whole other thing. I don't stand here to condemn you or to guilt you. Again, I'm not condemning those who honestly have circumstances or have notable limitations that prevent them from being able to be here every Sunday or even at all. I'm asking you as a body of believers that are sitting here to consider why it is that you come to worship. Some of you in this moment might think because the pastor yells at us. I'm not yelling at you. I'm probably yelling at me. Reminding myself why I come every Sunday morning. Because sometimes I don't really feel I get caught up in the me and go, my sermon's not good. I shouldn't take this. I shouldn't. But inevitably, every time I'm reminded He has. And I can't wait to come in the door and see all of your wonderful faces that would testify He has. He has called me as His own. He has saved me from myself. I ask you this morning, church, as a means of invitation to consider what hinders your worship. And just to be real honest with you, if you say anything along these lines, I'm hindered from coming to gather in worship as an act of worship because he, she, or they, I can tell you this, you're not being honest. You don't come to worship. This is the truth. I don't gather to worship because I. For some of you, that might be a notable reason. I can't. I have limitations. And listen, God knows the heart and He's gracious. But sometimes I can't gather because I. What follows that's not significant. And certainly if you can't come because they, she, or he, what you're saying is they, she, or he is greater than the one you're worshiping. And listen, I understand New Home can't be the church for everybody, but there is a church for everybody. Gather with the believers and praise God who saved you. If you have anything outside of because I encourage you to repent seek reconciliation, and worship, gather. If you follow, I can't gather and worship because I, take that to the Lord. And follow His lead to the praise of His glory. If you say, I can't worship because I don't know the salvation that is in Christ Jesus, because I'm wretched, pitiable, and poor, because I'm a sinner, then what I want to say to you is today is a day of salvation. Call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. Oh, the gospel was in the middle of the message. You can worship in Christ because He has delivered you. We can worship in Christ because He's delivered us. You can have salvation just as we do and learn what true worship is by placing your faith, hope, and trust in the one that died to save us. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. If you can't worship because you're carrying a burden of sin and guilt, confess that sin to God and ask Him to save you. Call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Father, I thank You for this morning. I thank You that You've reminded us what it is to gather as worship. So many texts, so much imagery of a body of people gathered together singing praises unto the Lord. Psalms 84, we'll enter His gates with thanksgiving. We'll enter His courts with praise. Tells us of the posture we should have as we enter into the house of the Lord. With our minds turned and focused toward the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. To gather to worship the one who has given us a means of reconciliation through the blood of His Son. To sing praises unto You, Father God, who offered Your Son for the wicked, the pitiable, the poor and wretched. That in Him we might receive the gift of salvation. Lord, it is an incredible gift. I pray Your gospel's been heard this morning. I pray that we are driven to reflect on our relationship with You, our worship. Father, help us to get it right. Help us to desire to gather together. That we would bear witness to those around us how important it is for us to be renewed in our spirit, to gather together, to encourage one another, even more as we see the day Christ's return approaching. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen.